Welcome to Friday morning. It's going to be a nice day today. You know, this is the weekend where hot weather is on its way. People are throwing their shorts on and realizing, oh my gosh, my legs are white. That's the time of the year that we're in. Good morning, folks. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Very, very warm temperatures, downright hot, actually, through the weekend. So you've got that to look forward to. People's weekend plans, no doubt, shaping up as we get set for a great few days ahead. We've got a full show this morning for a Friday. Prime Minister Mark Carney addressing the nation for the first time. So this will be his first official media conference since the election. So we're likely to hear about the Liberal government's plans going forward, what his plan is to deal with the U.S. We know he had the call with Donald Trump this week, and it sounds as if he'll be visiting the White House in the next week or so. I'm really interested in hearing his tone to deal with issues on Canada unity. This is a loud discussion in the West. Carney has to be aware of this. Is he willing to sit down with premiers to hear the concerns, to come up with a strategy? Premier Scott Moe made the offer this week. We want to sit down. He said, we want to press the reset button. We want to work together. We want Saskatchewan's concerns and priorities to be heard and part of the general plan for the federal government. We'll see. Mark Carney's address is at 9 o'clock and we are carrying it live. Also on the show, one of the biggest employers of the summer offering jobs for summer students. That's coming up later on in the show. A Saskatchewan farmer who has his sights set on breaking a record, a world record that I think is crazy and almost impossible to break, but he's going to give it a shot. So we'll talk about that coming up later this morning. Belton Johnson with It's Eatin' Time, Bugs and Hugs. At 10 o'clock, we've got a full show. Let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, we've had a pretty full week. The election, of course, digesting the results of that. What does this look like? We've heard from Premier Scott Moe. And typically when we've got a lot of things like this going on, we all have those people that we like to sit down and chat with and kind of digest it a little bit more and pull it apart and talk. Paul Martin is that guy for me. Ralco business commentator. Always appreciate having him on the show and glad to have Paul joining us first thing this morning. Paul, thanks for taking the call.
Morning.
So, federal election happens on Monday. There's a lot of emotion, and I'm just going to leave it there, a lot of emotion on the issue of Liberals forming government. Obviously, we saw a surge in Liberal support in this province, although not enough to really change things dramatically. One seat goes Liberal. I'm curious, you follow and are immersed in the business community, the business side of things. Is there a feeling, Paul, in the business community that this Liberal government under Mark Carney will be different, will be better for business than the Trudeau government?
Yeah, I don't know that I have heard that it will be different. There's more of a show me kind of a view. They're going to wait and see. The Liberals assure us it's a different outfit. And I think at the end of the day, what the business community was looking for in this election was something decisive, so that if indeed the issue is we have to have a unified, solidified Canadian voice to take on the White House, we didn't get that. We got a split. And so let's wait. I think the business community is saying, all right, we may give you the benefit of the doubt for now because you're telling us you're different, but we want to see. So the proof's in the pudding. So I think they're kind of skeptical, but hopeful. I don't think there's a general view that this was a good thing or a bad thing. It was like, okay, now what? You know, with a minority parliament, you always have the chance of going back to an election sooner rather than later. And that just brings more uncertainty again. You know, it's going to be a wait and see, I think, is the way I'm reading the view right now. But there is great concern, you know, about the look at the map. It's east and west. It's red in the east and blue in the west. And, you know, I probably used the phrase on your show a half a dozen times that the the thread of the fabric of Canada is being stretched here. And, you know, will the seams hold? That's going to be the big question.
Well, let's talk about that. There's a heavy discussion happening in Alberta, certainly, about separation. Their government is looking to make some changes that lower the threshold in terms of triggering the public being able to bring forward a referendum on that. Their premier, Danielle Smith, saying, no, I'm not fanning the flames on the notion of a separation. I just want to be able to hear from people of the province. How serious do you think this is, and how do you see this playing out in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, it is serious. And it's, you know, this is not a new development. This conversation has been going on for a long time. I remember going to Moose Jaw, I don't know how long ago it was, and Ralph Klein was speaking there, and actually it was Gormley who was interviewing him, and in a public forum at the Wilson Theater, and I got to ask a question, and I asked him, how close is Western separation to the surface? And he said, he put his two fingers together, and it was probably like a tenth of an inch between them. He said, that close. So it's been around for a long, long time, and it's manifested itself, and then that triggers redevelopments or responses. And you think back to when Brian Mulroney was prime minister, and he put a lot of political capital into Meech Lake and the Charlottetown Accords, and the whole exercise there was to get Quebec into the Constitution. When that failed, the next election, the Conservatives were virtually wiped off the map. And that gave rise to the reform and all of that stuff. Preston Manning became a figure, and Manning's response was, the West wants in. It wasn't the West wants out, it was the West wants in. These have been the responses that we've seen. But I don't know how many times you can do that before the West just says, okay, we've tried this. And I think back to, if you listen to the conversation, it's about just give us everything Quebec's got. We'll take all the rules and all the regulations, everything you do for Quebec, we'll just substitute another word in there, Alberta, Saskatchewan, pick which one you want. We just want to be treated the same way as them. And I think what has kept the West in the country, or this debate somewhat tamped down, has been the fact that there's not been an effective spokesman for it in Western Canada. You think back to how it happened in Quebec. René Lévesque came along, and René was an articulate character. He was a figure. He was somebody that, when he got the leadership, he was able to rally and marshal support and troops. We haven't seen anybody like that in Western Canada. If you go to a referendum or something, maybe that figure will emerge. Who knows? But at this point, it's kind of just speculative. But, I think back to your original question, it is real. I don't know how real.
And I think it's the question too, Paul. Paul Martin is my guest. The question is, what form does it take? Does it revive something like a reform party? Does it replicate essentially what the Bloc is for Quebec for a party out west? And how does that fare in a federal election? Or is it outright a push for separation? There's a few iterations, there's a few roads this could go, depending if those votes from the people come forward in terms of a referendum.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And the irony is, if you did create a Bloc-like party in the West, which was focused only on Western Canadian issues or Prairie issues or Alberta issues, Saskatchewan issues, however you want to phrase it, and it almost guarantees the Liberals reelected forever, doesn't it? And that's the sort of ironic thing, is you're fighting to get rid of the Liberals. And if you split the country up and you have a bunch of little regional parties, the one national party is just going to be, it'll be a cakewalk for them every time. And so, this may be one of the reasons it hasn't manifested itself in a more formal manner, is that it's a pretty daunting task. I get the level of frustration that's out there. And maybe we just need to be talking about, how we talk about the country. I mean, I'm really intrigued by it. And people like you and I, we have an ear for words when we listen to what political leaders say. And, if you listen to anybody coming out of the East, it's when they're talking Quebec, for example, they say Quebecers and Canadians. They're separate. And even the Liberals, Trudeau used to do it, but only when he was speaking French, not when he was speaking English. But you'll hear all the political leaders, they basically salute Quebec as something separate, different, distinct, whatever terminology you want to use. And, you know, that's maybe one of the subtleties that might get picked up out here is to, you know, I don't hear people saying Albertans and Canadians. Maybe we will.
Something else I want to talk with you about. Paul Martin is my guest, Rolco business commentator. This is something that kind of just slid by this week, but the United States were able to basically make a minerals deal with Ukraine, and it's been a long stretched out discussion about the United States getting some sort of a thank you and guarantee for continued support of Ukraine in the frustrating war that they've been having with Russia. Is this something that is changing the way foreign aid is going to look? And I think my follow up to that is Trump, I'm sure, has it in his head that he's done a lot and the U.S. has done a lot for Canada. Do you think we're going to see a proposal like this coming from the States for Canadian minerals?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, and the short answer is I don't know. It's hard to predict what Trump does, but it's never really been much of a challenge or a problem for American mining companies, for example, to come up here, or oil and gas companies to come here and work. I'm not sure it's exactly apples to apples when you make that comparison, but I think what we're seeing emerge in Ukraine was a far more draconian deal that was originally on the table. And then when Putin didn't want to play as well in the sandbox with Trump, Trump was more willing to accommodate the Ukrainian demands. And this went from we're just going to take your critical minerals to now we've got a joint venture and Americans will invest in this stuff. And let's face it, Ukraine has a lot of needs for capital right now. And, you know, if they did have a spare dollar around, would they put it into infrastructure and rebuilding housing, or would they go and develop a mine? I suspect they wouldn't. The mining would get pushed back. This is going to accelerate it, and this will create investment. This will create job opportunities. And so there is an argument to be made that this actually is beneficial to the Ukrainian side as well, that they want to exploit their resources, and now they've been going to have the capital and a partner capable of doing that.
Paul Martin is my guest, Rolco business commentator. Just a couple of minutes left. Speaking of the states, tariffs, trade war, it seems as though things have subsided over the last little while. I don't know if that's just because the election has taken the front seat here in Canada or not, but what are you hearing from the business community when you are talking about what's going on with the U.S.? Is there a quelling of the fears that has happened?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of normalization here. I mean, we're seeing Trump back away from a lot of the tariffs that he had, you know, put deadlines on and that kind of stuff. And I think the reality is setting in the U.S. that tariffs amount to a tax on your own citizens. And, you know, real people, you and I have talked about this, don't really understand the machinations that are behind what the tariff is. It just sounds good. I'm going to impose a tariff on my neighbor. And then when the rubber hits the road and you find out what's really happening, it means that tariff costs me money, not the other guy. And so they're starting to find that, well, this isn't necessarily the way that they want to do. And I think some of Trump's support is disappearing on this. It's starting to wane. And so, you know, I think the business community is looking at this and saying, politically, it's probably not sustainable for them. So maybe we just bide our time here and we'll see if things settle down a little bit.
Always appreciate you stopping by so much, Paul. Thank you for your time today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Rolco business commentator Paul Martin joining us this morning as we get set for a live broadcast. We will be carrying live the Prime Minister's address to the nation. This will be the first one for Mark Carney. All eyes will be on this, analyzing and critical likely of the words that are spoken and the thoughts that come out. And we talked about, is Canadian unity part of what he discusses? No doubt U.S. relationship, meeting with Donald Trump will be in there, some of the priorities. But what else will he address? We will see. We'll be carrying this live coming up at 9 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.